From the Love We're Finding studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler, here with the CEO, Carrie Vaughn. Carrie, today Adrian Rogers looks at how to be absolutely sure of our salvation.
One of the best booklets he wrote was A Know-So Salvation. How do you know, right? My grandmother used to say, to know that you know that you know that you know that Christ is your Savior.
You know, many followers of Jesus Christ look for their assurance of salvation, Carrie, in the wrong places, tend to find their assurance of salvation in things like what God is doing in their lives, in their spiritual growth, in the good works, in their obedience to God's word. I mean, these are all really, really good things, but that's not what our assurance of salvation should be based on. It should be based upon the rock-solid assurance of God's word.
Amen. And I think many times we base it upon a feeling. How do we feel today?
Yeah.
How do we feel on Thursday? How do we feel on Monday? And I think that's not the case. It is, at one time, I was running to sin, and now, by God's grace, I'm running away from sin.
Well, it reminds salvation. Me. Yeah, it reminds me, Adrian Rogers said one time that God's work of salvation is in the deepest part of man, and our feelings are in the shallowest part. So he's not going to do his deepest work in the shallowest part of our being.
Correct. Correct. And I think repentance is the turning point. It's the linchpin, right? It's the turn where we say, hey, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short the glory of God. But then the realization that we need a Savior, and then God begins to work.
Well, we always love hearing from our Love We're Finding listeners, whether it be on the website, if you write in, you send us an email. We have a Facebook listener that says, Adrian Rogers has a unique way of making you feel he is right with you, making excellent illustrations as PowerPoints to connect the dots so that you can understand.
There's nobody too good that they need not be saved, and nobody too bad that they can't be saved. And that was the message of Adrian Rogers.
Well, Carrie, let's remind our friends, too, that our annual ministry report is available on our website.
Yeah, go to lwf.org, and there you're going to have many resources, materials at your fingertips, but also our annual ministry report. You want to read that, digest that, and be a part of what we're doing at Love Worth Finding.
Tuesday nights are really special for you and I.
I love Tuesday nights. I have my dinner here, and we come to the studio, and we do conversations that matter. And we've had some wonderful speakers over the last two or three months. God has used it. He's blessed it. And here's the neat thing, and this is what you love, Byron. We've had two or three people each night pray to receive Christ.
Yes, that is so exciting. That's really the bottom line, what we want to do. We want to connect with viewers, not only in our local area, but because it's on the World Wide Web, this is all over the world. We've had viewers from South Korea, from parts of Africa, the Middle East. And so it's exciting to see people respond to the message of Jesus Christ as our guest pastors. And some of them are seminary professors. Many of them have had personal relationships with Adrian Rogers.
And I think that's the key. I think these men, whether they are leading their church or organization or seminary, they know the Word of God, they preach the Word of God, they stand up on the Word of God, but also they have an admiration for the life and ministry of Adrian Rogers.
Well, we want you to know absolutely sure of your salvation. With that message now, here's Adrian Rogers.
You know, God does not owe us explanations. They wouldn't do us any good anyway, because if He explained, we still wouldn't understand. So don't ask Him to explain. That would be like asking Einstein to explain something to your dog. You're not going to understand the ways of God. His ways are above our ways. We trust and obey. We do not live by explanations. We live by promises. Amen? And one of the great promises, however, is that we can know that we know that we know that we're saved, heaven-born, and heaven-bound. And if you are not saved, you need to be saved so you can know it. And if you are saved, you ought to know it. Somebody said if you could be saved and not know it, you could lose it and not miss it. The truth of the matter is that you can know beyond the shadow of any doubt that you are saved. There are only two classes in the world. Now, we divide people by upper class, middle class, lower class, but God doesn't do that. There are only two classes, the saved and the lost, the saints and the ain'ts. And you are in one category or you are in another. Well, you say, well, I'm not entirely saved, Pastor Rogers. No, no. Nobody is half saved. To be half saved is to be altogether, entirely lost. Either you are saved or you are lost. Well, you say, only God can say who's saved. Well, you're right about that, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to find out what God says. And then when we find out what God says, then you can say what God says, and you can be sure. Now, let's see what God says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now here's the climactic verse, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, are Christians fools? Are we mere sentimentalists? Or do we have a basis for our belief? Now, the Gospel of John was written to tell us how to be saved, and this 1 John was written, the Epistle of John, to tell us how to know that we're saved. If you take your Gospel of John when you get home sometime and read it, circle the word know, K-N-O-W, just circle it. Maybe take a red pen and just circle it. By the way, don't mind writing in your Bible. When you wear it out, get a new one. Amen? Just write, circle it. If you have a Bible falling apart, you have a life that's not falling apart. Just circle it. Every time you find the word K-N-O-W, know, just circle it, and you will find that over 40 times in these five chapters, he uses the word know. It is the gospel of certainty. It is not a hope so, maybe so. It is a know so salvation. And he says, these things, verse 13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Wouldn't it be wonderful for you to say, praise God, I know that I know that I know that no matter what happens, I am heaven born and I am heaven bound. Now, there's another key word, and it is used some 10 times in these verses that I've just read to you. 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 13. And that key word is the same word. It is translated different ways. It is translated witness, record, testimony, and testify. It's the same word that is just translated different ways. So God is giving us a witness so we can know. He is giving us a testimony so that we can know. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The source of our certainty, the basis of our belief. And remember, we told you that a threefold cord is not easily broken. We told you three ways that you could test false spirits. Now we're going to tell you today three ways that you can know, K-N-O-W, that you are saved and that you're on the way to heaven and that you can be absolutely sure. Now the first way, there is the certainty that comes from the atoning work of Christ. Write down the atoning work of Christ. The atoning work of Christ. Now, how does that certainty come? Well, look, if you will, in verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. Now, what does that mean? Well, it speaks of what Jesus Christ did to redeem us. And it said that he came by water and blood. What is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of water and blood? Put in your margin, John, that is this time the Gospel of John, John chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. The setting for this verse is that Jesus Christ is on the cross. He is dying in agony and blood upon that cross, and the Roman soldiers, in order to make certain that those who had been crucified were dead, the Jews wanted them dead before the Sabbath, they were coming along to break the legs of those who had been crucified to hasten death. But when they came to Jesus, He was already dead. Now listen to the scripture, John 19, verses 33 and 34. But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came out blood and water out of the wounded side of the Lord Jesus. There poured out blood and water. And now the Apostle John tells us over here in the epistle that we're reading, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. The pericardial pleural fluid that encases the heart is a watery substance. And of course, it's the heart that pumps the blood. But sometimes in great duress, medical people tell us that plasma, it separates and that fluid is there around the heart, that pleural fluid that shows something of the agony that Jesus had. You see, why did Jesus die first and the thieves not die, the other two? They broke their legs. They didn't need to break Jesus' legs. Why? Because Jesus died of a broken heart. Jesus literally died of a broken heart. There was no agony like the agony of Jesus. You cannot understand the pressure that was upon the Lord Jesus. Jesus died in agony. The eternities were compressed upon the Lord Jesus. The sins of the world were distilled upon the Lord Jesus. He died of a broken heart. And when that soldier took that spear and rammed it into the side of the Lord Jesus, there poured out water and blood. That's the meaning of John speaking of water and blood. But what is the message of it? We see it is the blood that cleanses from sin. It is the blood that removes the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, and without shedding of blood, there's no remission. And Jesus took my sin and your sin to that cross, and with His blood, He paid sin's penalty. But there's also the water. The water speaks of that which continues to cleanse. It speaks not only of salvation, but sanctification. Remember in the Gospel of John chapter 1, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The Word is Jesus, the Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt is the word tabernacled. Jesus tabernacled among us. Did you know that in the Old Testament God had a tabernacle? And that tabernacle in the Old Testament was a prophecy of Jesus. And had you gone into that tabernacle to worship, first of all, there would have been a brazen altar, and that's where the blood would have been shed. That spoke of the blood of Jesus. And then right past that altar, you would come to a great basin called a laver. The blood is here at the altar, but at the laver is water. And so they would come, first of all, through the blood to the water. The blood deals with the penalty of sin. The water deals with the pollution of sin. Jesus tabernacled among us. Jesus came by blood and water. And it's significant that when they put that spear in His side, out came blood and water. Now, what does that have to do with the assurance of my salvation? Friend, my hope is built on nothing less than the blood and the water. And you know, we sing that song, Rock of Ages. Have you ever thought about that phrase that you've sung so many times? Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. That's the water and the blood. He saves from wrath. He makes us pure. I wouldn't give half a hallelujah of your hope of heaven apart from the water and the blood. Apart from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross. That's the solid rock on which we stand. That's the first chord in our threefold chord that gives us assurance. There is certainty from the atoning work of Christ. Did you write that down? All right, now write this down. There is certainty from the abiding witness of the Spirit. The atoning work of the Son, the abiding witness of the Spirit. Now continue to read the last part of verse 6. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. Now you see where the Spirit takes the water and the blood, the Holy Spirit, to bear witness. And these three agree in one. Now notice John's argument here, if, and that word if can be translated since. Since we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, that is the abiding witness. You see, you have the atoning work. But the Holy Spirit takes the atoning work and he testifies of it. He gives witness to you on the inside. Now, let me tell you how the Holy Spirit of God witnesses. This is the way that you can know that you have this blessed assurance. First of all, the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. That is, before we're even saved, the Holy Spirit is telling us about Jesus. Notice again, if you will, verse 6. And this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. You say, well, Adrian, how do I know that's true? Just because you say it? No, listen. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. Do you think that I'm up here trying to persuade you of something? Oh, no, no. You see, it is the Holy Spirit of God that will tell you whether this is true or whether it's not. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, he will take the things of mine and he will show them to you. And notice what he says there in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. You believe men? You receive the witness of men all the time. You go out to a restaurant, you trust people to eat. It takes more faith every day. You're sitting in this building. You've trusted the engineers that figured this roof that it'll not fall in. I've often thought about it. You get on an airplane to fly overseas. You sit down. You've never seen that pilot. You've never met him. You've never examined that airplane. And he cracks that throttle open, going to fly you all the way across that puddle. That's faith. You go to the doctor. He writes a prescription neither he nor the pharmacist can read. And that man goes back there and takes all that stuff from the shelf and mixes something up and you take it. Listen, we receive the witness of men every day, don't we? Surely we do. You say, well, it's difficult to live by faith. You live by faith every day of your life. And you put your faith in two-legged men whose breath is in their nostrils. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Men can lie. The Holy Spirit is truth. And so first of all, the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. That's the reason why I'm never moved when a man says, well, I can't believe. He's a liar. If you want to believe, the Holy Spirit will enable you to believe. Jesus did not say, you cannot come unto me. Jesus said, ye will not come unto me. You see, it is because the Holy Spirit of God, when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit of God witnesses with the Word. First of all, He witnesses to you. And then not only does He witness to you, then He witnesses in you. Look in the last part of verse 10, if you will, or the first part. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, when He witnesses to you and you receive Christ, then He comes into you and you have the witness in you. Now, suppose Brother Bob and Brother Jim are arguing with me about apple pie. And I have an apple pie over here, and I've just eaten a big slice of it. And Jim says, I don't believe there is any apple pie. It doesn't even exist. And Bob says, well, I believe it exists, but it's no good. And Adrian is over here having wrapped himself around a piece of apple pie. Now, you think those two guys are going to disturb me? See, I have the witness in myself. I have the witness in myself, and that is the reason that a Christian with an experience is never at the mercy of an infidel with an argument. You see, He witnesses to you, and then He witnesses in you. That's the reason the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. One way to find out whether apple pie is good or not is to taste and see. Now you say, well, that brings up a real question, Adrian. What is the witness of the Holy Spirit? Now, I want you to be very careful here. The witness of the Holy Spirit is not an emotional feeling. Now, if you don't get this, you're going to miss the whole thing. Most people think that the witness of the Holy Spirit is some emotional feeling. Goosebumps. Liver shivers. Oh, say, I know I'm saved because I feel it. Oh, boy. Then your assurance of your salvation is going to go up and down with the condition of your liver. If you live by emotions, you're going to be on a roller coaster. No, 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 no. The witness of the Spirit is far deeper than emotions. How does God know anything? Does He know something because somebody tells Him? Does He know something because He has learned it? Does He know something because He feels it? No, spiritual knowledge goes beyond those things. Now, very frankly, I'm not really an emotional person, except when I preach. I get emotional when I preach, but I'm more emotional when I preach than in other times. Sometimes Joyce will say to me, hey, why don't you get excited like you do when you preach? I don't get all that high. I don't get all that low. But I can't take credit for that one way or the other. It's just the way I'm wired. That is my psychology. I'd be that way if I were not saved. That's my emotional band. I don't get all that high. I don't get all that low. I'm more in a narrow band. Now, the assurance of your salvation can show up in your emotions. You know, when it dawns on you that you know that you're saved, you may get very excited about it. Nothing wrong with that. The emotions are fine. That is not the witness of the Spirit. Your emotions may play on the witness of the Spirit. You say, Pastor, then what is the witness of the Spirit? Explain it. You don't explain it. You receive it.
You don't explain, you receive. A powerful word as we end today's lesson. And we'll hear part two of this insightful message coming up tomorrow on Love Worth Finding. But if you have questions about who Jesus is, what He means to you, please go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources and materials that can encourage you and answer questions you may have about your faith. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus at the top of the page. Well, thanks for studying in God's Word with us today. As we come to a close, remember these timely words from Adrian Rogers. We do not live by explanations, but by promises. Cling to the Word of God today. And be sure to join us tomorrow for part two of How to Be Absolutely Sure, right here on Love Worth Finding.